This is study number 16 on the King of the North in Daniel 11. And just as we've been saying all along, for us to understand the King of the North in Daniel 11, we need to see the connection between the Horn of Littleness, both in its pagan and papal form, to understand who the King of the North is. So the Horn of Littleness in Daniel 8 is none other than the King of the North in Daniel 11. And it's got many names in the Bible, as we've already mentioned. In 2 Thessalonians, he's called the Son of Perdition, the Man of Sin. In Revelation 13, he's called the Beast. And in Revelation 17, this entity is called the Great Whore. And again, in Revelation 18, it's called Babylon. And so today we're going to look just briefly at Daniel 9, the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27. And so this is all important stuff. Again, the Lord has deemed that this is necessary for us to have. And it's good for us. And of all the things that the Lord could have given to us, this is what he gave to us. John says at the end of his gospel that Jesus did many things, and he supposes, you can read it for yourself, that if they were all written, that the world itself would not be able to contain all of the books. Just think about that. So just imagine, of all the things that took place from the time of Adam right till now, here's what God has taken from all of that and given us. This is what we understand to be is the Bible. These are the high points. He's not given us so many volumes that the world itself would not be able to contain them. We would never be able to get anywhere. But God in his mercy and in his mighty wisdom has given us this. This is sufficient. This is gleaning what God thinks is best for us. So it behooves us to take a look at these things. Doesn't mean we'll have a perfect understanding of these things, but they are for our blessing and our good. And they are meant to encourage us. They are meant to protect us. They are meant to sanctify us. They are meant to prepare us. They are meant to have the law of God written in our hearts so that we may love the Lord and his kingdom and his righteousness and him with everything that we have. And God is that good. Now, we're looking at Daniel 9. Again, all this is related, you know. Verses 24 to 27. It's presented within the overall context of the vision in Daniel 8 of the 2300 evening and morning, the great vision of Daniel 8. And so this 70-week prophecy is limited to 70 weeks compared to, and it's a part of the 2300-day prophecy. As we all good Seventh-day Adventists already know, we should know. And we've been taught this, whether we came in through an evangelistic series or read on our own, or we grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, we're all kind of familiar with this whole idea. And so This 70-week prophecy is the explanation that the 2300-year vision given in Daniel 8, this 70-week prophecy follows the same pattern and encompasses, again, very important for us to know, the closing events of Earth's history. All right? So this is not a separate prophecy, but it's zooming in on the 2300-year prophecy. A lot of things happen from the beginning of that prophecy right to the very end of it. And this is the Lord in his mercy has helped us to take a microscope and look at this particular point. And that's what we're doing right here. So let's just go through some of these. It's not, again, this is not going to be comprehensive. I may miss a point, maybe overspeak something or not say enough. I'm sorry if that's the case. I'm just trying to share a blessing. And so let's move through this, and I think you'll be blessed. And these are essential for us. And this is all building up on the King of the North. So again, we want to know who that guy is. And we already got a good idea, but the Lord's got a lot more information for us to look at. So after the 62 weeks of this prophecy, the Messiah shall be cut off, but no one for him. And the people, this is verse 26, of the coming prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end shall be with a flood. And until an end of war, desolations are decreed, that which is decreed, or desolations. And he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, he shall make cease sacrifice, and offering. And upon a wing of abominations, that which desolates, even until an utter end. And that which was decreed shall pour out on that which desolates. Now that's the text. Let's just talk about this for a moment. Now we wanted to pay attention to the portions that we just read. Some of the high points of these texts, these two texts that we just read. That the idea until an end of war, or at the end of the war, desolations are decreed. So the idea that it is that it is suggested that a simple literal translation is preferred. Until an end of war. What war are we talking about here? There's a war going on. Okay, well, what this war that's being talked about in Daniel 9 here refers to the continual conflict between religio-pagan forces throughout history exalting itself against God. That's the war. We see that war described in Revelation. Let's read it. Now, Revelation 12, we're familiar with this, and it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the great dragon was cast down. Okay? And so, this war didn't end there. It continues. All right? So, that's in Revelation 12, verse 7. But then look at the end of Revelation 12, and it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the woman, with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Now, that's talking about making war with us, but in truth, is making war against God. That's how he's fighting against God, because we are God's people. And he's fighting against God. That's what he's doing here. So we're looking at this desolation that Daniel 9 is talking about. That which desolates, even unto an utter end, that which was decreed shall pour out on that which is desolated. So this conflict, this war that is described in each of the world kingdom visions of Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45, and Daniel 7, verses 21 and 22, and 25 and 26, and in Daniel 8, verses 10 through 12, and 24 and 25, and throughout Daniel 11, that's what you see is this war. It's really a war against God. The world conflict in Daniel 9 is alluded to after the full destruction of Jerusalem with a flood. The next phrase is not repetitious of the preceding one, as implied by other scholars, but with the correct translation, places the focus of all of this on the overall context of the 2300-year vision at the end of time. So this religio-pagan force that is at war, exalting itself against God, is being told to us in Daniel 9, will be desolated or brought to an utter end at the time of the end. This is, we need to really tuck that into our hearts. And so the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD is in context of the conflict between the kingdoms of this world with God continuing to the end of history. There you saw Rome come in and destroy the temple, correct? Okay. It's also directly related to this idea in Daniel 8:13. In verse 13 of Daniel 8, it says, causing desolation. It's attributed to the subject representing the singular activity of self-exaltation against God, namely the daily, and the transgression which desolates. We've talked about that in previous studies. What is the transgression which desolates? Remember in previous studies, the transgression that causes desolation in Daniel 8 is in verse 12, was when papal Rome united with the converted pagan forces of Clovis against the pagan and Arian forces which opposed the papacy. So this joint activity resulted in a union of church and state claiming to act in behalf of God. Thus it is seen that the daily and the transgression span the entire length of this vision. Together they form a subject representing the identical behavioral characteristic of two phases, pagan and papal Rome, a single entity exalting itself against God. That's the transgression of this desolation. So the desolating activity of each successive world power, starting with the ram, even with Babylon, and then the ram, and then the goat, and then this terrible beast, right, Rome, and then pagan papal Rome, okay, is clearly portrayed in the vision of Daniel 8. This continual self-exalting character of pagan nations, and then the transgression is taking this counterfeit Christ, this fallen Christianity, and uniting it with the powers of the earth and the state, claiming to act in behalf of God throughout history. So what Daniel 9 is talking about, at the time of the end, this is going to be destroyed, this whole concept. So this desolation covers the entire expanse of the 2300-day prophecy, and it's directly related to Daniel 8:13 in a continual historical setting, but with an end-time emphasis in the context of the 2300-day prophecy. All right? So this phrase, an end of war, is in the context of the term in Daniel 9, an utter end, or a consummation of earth's history. Unmistakable evidence is given for this view. that the Hebrew word kala means utter end or full end or destructions resolved especially by God. So you get that? This is important for us to know. God's going to bring this thing to an utter end. Just like you see in Daniel 2, the stone that is cut without hands, what does it do to the whole image? Smites it, right? So these abominations are wrought by the desolating force or activity and continue throughout Earth's history. So the desolating activity in Daniel 9 is identical to the continual and the transgression which desolates in Daniel 8, verse 13. Now, this isn't going to be a long study. I just thought it was important to bring these points out because we're going to need them as we come to our conclusions. So the final thought in Daniel 9, verse 27 begins with this term, and that which was decreed shall pour out on that which desolates. All right? And so, this describes the final fate of the desolator or desolating activity which was previously decreed in verse 26. This decree in verse 27 is an allusion to the final decree on the horn or king in Daniel 8:25. And let's quote that, Daniel 8:25. But he shall be broken without hand. Okay. The same final decree is repeated in Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. And in Daniel 7, verse 11 and 26. And verse 26 says, the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his rulership to cut off and destroy until the end. And then finally, in Daniel 11, here's what happens to the king of the north. Now, we know the king of the south pushes against the king of the north. We've studied that already. The king of the north comes back like a whirlwind. We're studying that. That's what's upon us right now. But here's what verse 45 says about the king of the north in Daniel 11. And it says in verse 45 of Daniel 11, the king of the north shall come to his end, and no one will help him. All right, let's just look at that in Revelation once. Now, the latter rain comes, right? This is Revelation 18. And it says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is what? Fallen. That's what Daniel 9 is talking about. See, Daniel and Revelation are parallel books. They may not use the exact same terminology, but they're talking about the same things. And one gives different views from the same thing, looking at it from this angle. The other one gives it from another angle. Okay, but Babylon is fallen. Okay. And it says it twice. Is fallen. And what is this Babylon? It has become the habitation of devils. Devils. You know, I watch some of these programs. I don't watch them. I mean, passing by. And these guys are crazy. They're in basements of old mansions with green lights on, and they've got Geiger counters and laser lights, and they're going, hello, hello, is there anybody there? Speak to me. Well, we all know what those, and somebody feels something or they hear a voice. We know what that is. Those are devils. Those are fallen angels. We shouldn't be surprised by that. These are not the souls of departed loved ones. That's nonsense. It's garbage. It's not true at all. These are devils. Where are these devils all going to be gathered? Not in haunted mansions. and haunted houses in Babylon. They're all going to be there in Babylon. Parading as what? As devils? No. No. But as angels of God, as holy beings. And it says, it has become the habitation of devils. And what else? And the hold of every foul spirit. Foul spirit. That's interesting. And a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Wow. A lot of hate going on today. Can you hear it in the news, in the media? People are angry, they're mad, and they're full of hate. And they're all gathered up into Babylon. Now, is that all that's in Babylon? Let's read on. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That is the transgression which desolates that we just talked about. What is this fornication? It is the union of the church and state acting in behalf of God, exalting itself against God. That's the fornication. And it made all nations drink of this. This is after the deadly wound is healed in Revelation 13. All the world is wandering after this. And who else is in there? We've got habitation of devils, foul spirits, and cages of hateful birds, right? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, come out of this, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Daniel 9, verse 27, is about to be fulfilled completely here. That's what we're reading. For her sins have reached unto heaven, verse 5 in Revelation 18, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now again, that word remember is not God forgot. Now he just all of a sudden, like we do, we forgot things and then we go, oh, I just remembered. No. That word remember means he's about to act. I learned that from E.J. Wagner. It means he's about to act. He's about to punish. He's about to do Daniel 9. Okay. This is what the cleansing of the sanctuary is all about, right here. And he says he's about to, he remembers her iniquity and reward her even as she rewarded you and double her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled. Fill to her double. She had glorified herself, lived deliciously, and she said in her heart, I sit as a queen and am not a widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and she shall be what? Utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Okay? Do you see that? This is very important. Now, this is what we're looking at in Daniel 9. There's much there. Again, this is not comprehensive. We're just touching these things. But they're important for us to know. So let's summarize what we've looked at in Daniel 9 here. The evidence suggests in Daniel 9, verses 23 to 27, it not only explains in Daniel 9 the beginning date of the 2300-day prophecy in Daniel 8:14, but also gives a snapshot overview from the beginning to the end of the entire 2300-year period and the final conclusion of Earth's history. Isn't that important for us to know? Praise the Lord. You know, this is a wily foe, the king of the north. The devil has two kings that are his guys, the king of the south. But that's not the one that ends up in total power. It's the king of the north. That's his baby. That's his son of perdition, the man of sin. That's the one with the number 666. All right? All the stuff that we've studied. That's what Satan, that's his seat, his authority, his power. Everything is right there. And remember, he's warring against God because he's done what? Exalted himself as God, sitteth in the temple, making himself God. Isaiah 14 says, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. In Matthew 4, he's telling Jesus, worship me, the third temptation. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the whole world. See, that's the whole point here. But we need to know that this wily foe is going to be destroyed utterly in the end. You know, people have lived in terrible times of history, did they not? During the time of Adolf Hitler, for example. And you know, if you were a Jewish person being herded into a cattle car and taken to a concentration camp, how horrible that must have been. Or if you lived during the time of Joseph Stalin, you know, I mean, I'm sure you could name other episodes of history where there's no relief, there's no being liberated. And, you know, when the good guys, the Americans, I would suppose to say, at the end of World War II, they would come into different countries like Paris, for example, and the people were so happy because they were liberated. They were taken away from this tyrannical power that was just wreaking havoc and tormenting them. Well, God is letting us know that this satanic power that just rules and wreaks havoc and just crushes people, every hateful bird, all these cages, foul spirits, devils, all of that is coming to an utter end. Praise the Lord. We're going to be liberated, folks. This is not the end of the story here. We're going to be stuck with this. This is what we're going to be with now forever. And so that's what this is talking about here. So this comprehensive chronology in Daniel 9 is inherent in all of the world kingdom prophecies of Daniel, including Daniel 9. So we see it in Daniel 2. We see it in other, you know, these prophecies. Every one of these kingdoms come to naught, come to an end when God utterly destroys this whole thing. He has to do it. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming. So, this two-phase character that we already talked about. It's the horn of littleness, both in its masculine, which represent what? We should know this by now, pagan Rome. And its feminine phase, which represents papal Rome. Feminine. Revelation 17, the great whore, right? The counterfeit Christ, the counterfeit church. Revelation 12 is not Mary, it's the church. It's a woman. So this two-phase character is represented by the continual, that's what the word daily means. It means the self-exalting of pagan Rome, lifted up by papal Rome, which manifests itself ultimately in the second phase by the transgression. This is the transgression. This is the blasphemy part. And you see that in Daniel 8. You see it in Daniel 11. You see it in Revelation 13 and so on. And what's this? What is this transgression? It's claiming to act in behalf of God through the union of church and state, even saying and calling himself God. It's coming to an utter end. That's what Daniel 11 is saying as we look at that final verse in Daniel 11. And let's just read it. Daniel 11, 45. Lord's telling us the end of the story, and it's good news. And he shall plant his tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. That's what the king of the north does, okay? But the rest of the verse says, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. None. That's what Daniel 9, verse 27 is saying. Let's read that again. Okay. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, or brought to an utter end, as we just read in another translation. Brought to an utter end. Hallelujah. And God brings and ushers in his everlasting kingdom. No more ever to be tormented by the devil and all the foolishness. That's what this is talking about. Isn't that good news? It's wonderful good news. And I say praise the Lord. Now, we needed to study that, and we've got a lot more, and we're going to be wrapping this all up and then summarizing the whole works in a final study. May God bless you as you ponder these things and wrestle with them. And may Jesus be glorified in all of his beauty, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.